Good afternoon. Good morning together, and begin our afternoon together now. I know you folks have you enjoy food here, I can tell that. Have a lot of snack times and then a meal. So, reminds me of something that may happen occasionally, maybe not to you, maybe when you were younger, or maybe even now, but I don't know if you've ever had the experience where you had somebody say to you, is that powdered sugar on your lips? You've been eating those powdered donuts again, hadn't you? Sometimes you can display what you've been doing based by what's on your lips. So I want to ask you a question this morning. Is that grace on your lips? Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22, as we take a little journey from our New Testament study and that phrase in Ephesians, and we're going to go and we're going to switch gears. We're going to go and look at a phrase in Proverbs chapter 22. We're going to look at verse 11, and particularly just a little phrase in that verse that we'd like to meditate on this morning. We often think of love and grace together. We thought about the love of God, the great love with which God has loved us. And we want to think a little bit about grace. Notice here in Proverbs 22 in verse 11, he who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend. Notice that phrase, has grace on his lips. Now, I'm reading from the New King James. If you have a different translation, it will read probably somewhat differently, but I think that you can see, even in your translation, the same thought being there. So I want to think a little bit about grace on your lips. Now, when we go into the book of Proverbs, there's a lot about what you say and how you say it. And we think about lips, we're thinking about speaking, of course. We're thinking about communicating verbally and audibly in a way that someone could hear you and hopefully understand what you were saying. Aren't you glad that God is a God of communication? Aren't you thankful that He communicates? If He didn't communicate, then you'd have to come in here and just listen to me ramble on. More than likely, you wouldn't come in here this morning. You'd find something else to do. Because if God had not communicated with us through His Word, we would not know what it is that He desires for us, that He wants a relationship with us, that He does love us, and that He has loved us with that great love. Now, it's true that we could conceive to some degree from creation. We read in Romans 1 that God has communicated through creation. We can see His eternal power and Godhood through the things that He has made. So there is that communication that God has with us from creation. But if it were not for the Word of God, we would not understand the love of God. You can't really understand the love of God from creation. Oh, we're thankful that God went even beyond His written word and sent His Son, the Word made flesh, and there we see the glory of God and all that is a part of that glory, including the love of God. But God communicates, and God has made us to be beings who communicate. There are some in this room who, if we did a little poll and we said, let's vote on who in this room talks the most. I wonder who. Now, you couldn't vote for me because I'm a visitor, right? So you couldn't vote for me. I don't know who would win. And then if we had a similar vote on the same ballot, who talks the least? I have a feeling that there would be a clear winner for both of those, and that you folks here fittingly at Grace Gospel Chapel could tell us who's the talker and who's the person who does the least talking. But all of us, to some degree, communicate verbally and audibly. And so we're talking about using our lips. The book of Proverbs also talks about using our tongues and our mouths to be representative of our ability and responsibility to speak, to communicate. And we have here the lips. But what we have on our lips, according to verse 11 of Proverbs 22, is grace. Grace. You may have your own definition. I like that old simple definition of unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. I translate that into even more simple English in this way. Grace is getting something good that we don't deserve. Getting something good that we don't deserve. I used to say getting something that we don't deserve, and I can imagine that little child sitting out there, yeah, my mama gave me a whipping yesterday and I didn't deserve it. I guess that was grace. Well, that's not exactly what I mean, even though it was good for you, your mother hopefully wouldn't have given it to you. So maybe it was good, but it's getting something good that we don't deserve. So what I'd like to do in the time that we have before lunch, we're going to try to take four quick glimpses of grace on your lips. Grace as you speak. So first of all, is there grace on your lips? Is that grace on your lips? There will be grace on your lips when you are, first of all, speaking by grace. Speaking by grace. We're going to have a couple little hangers here, little hooks that we're going to just hook these on. The first hook is this, might, M-I-G-H-T, might, as in the ability to speak. Speaking by grace, the ability to speak, the might of speech. The other little hanger we'll use, I'll do it on this side. The other little hanger is here we have grace-empowered speech. Grace-empowered speech. Be sure that God is under no obligation to empower us to physically speak. Our ability to communicate verbally and audibly is all of His grace. You see, apart from the grace of God, you or I would not be able to speak a word were it not for the grace of God. You see, God is in control. God is sovereign. God has control over every breath that you breathe. God has control over your lips, whether or not to allow you to speak. In Acts 17, Paul, there at Mars Hill, spoke of God as not far from each of us, for in Him we live and move and have our being. We live and move and have our being. You live and move and have your being. You are able to live. You are able to move. You are able to exist. You are able to speak by the sovereign grace of God. Paul writes it this way to the Colossian believers, chapter 1 and verse 17 of his letter to them, says that the Lord Jesus is before all things, and in Him all things consist. That includes your lips. That includes your ability to verbally and audibly communicate. Hebrews 1:3, the writer there says that the Lord Jesus upholds all things by the word of His power. It's by the word of His power that you're able to speak a word, that you can say anything. It's by the grace of God. So in this sense, grace is on everyone's lips. In this understanding of speaking by grace, grace is on the lips of believers and unbelievers. Just like God causes the sun to shine on the righteous and the unrighteous, just like God causes the rain to fall on the righteous and the unrighteous, so God allows the righteous and the unrighteous the ability to speak. It's by His grace. But then there, of course, there's a more narrow sense in which there is grace on the lips of the believer who speaks. Because God intends for us to speak by the unique grace that He has given us individually. In Exodus chapter 4 and verse 11, Moses had already said, I'm not good with speaking. And in chapter 4 and verse 11, God responds in this way, who has made man's mouth? Who has made people not be able to speak, made them mute? Who has control over that, Moses? It's a rhetorical question, Moses. You don't need to answer that because the answer is obvious. It's God in His grace. If He did not allow you to speak by His grace, you would have no breath or mouth or lips or tongue or mind with which to speak. Were it not for the grace of God, you would not have vocal cords. You would not have that soft palate of your mouth or your larynx or a glottis that closes when you speak. You wouldn't have a throat. You wouldn't have nasal passages or a mouth cavity or a voice box or the muscles and the nerve all working in harmony to allow you to speak. Whenever you speak, grace on your lips. And when you speak for God, as a believer in the Lord Jesus, there's grace on your lips. Ephesians 4:7 says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. God has enabled you to do certain things for Him. Some of those are what we call speaking gifts. Special abilities to speak certain things for God. Others are what we refer to more as serving gifts. But for all of us as believers, God has put grace on our lips that we might speak for Him. So know it or not, you have grace on your lips in that you speak by grace. I want to encourage you this morning, or this afternoon rather, to exercise the grace that God has given you for service to Him as you speak by grace. Never forget that when you open your mouth and say something, God's grace allowed you to do that. Speaking by grace, that's the might of grace on your lips. That's the ability. That's grace-empowered speech. So first of all, we have speaking by grace. Secondly, as we consider this, is that grace on your lips? We have speaking because of grace. So first of all, speaking by grace. Secondly, speaking because of grace. And we're going to go back out here on this side, and we have that one hook that says might. And beside that, we're going to hook up motive. Motive. So here's our motive for speaking. Here's our motive for grace on our lips. So on this side over here beside grace-empowered speech, we're going to hang up grace-motivated speech. Is that grace on your lips? I know it is grace-empowered speech. I know it's grace allowing you to speak. But is it motivated by grace? What motivates me to speak? I read an article by a researcher who said that there are six reasons that people speak, that it can be narrowed down to six reasons: to give information, to get information, to get someone to do something, to stop someone from doing something, to make someone feel good, or to make someone feel bad. So this researcher said that you can take anything that anyone says and it can fall into one of those six bins, one of those six categories. And I would suggest that all of those are motives for speaking. God's grace to the believer is a powerful motivator for speaking. When we realize that God's grace has been extended to us so abundantly, we should be moved to speak differently than we would speak otherwise. Let me just run down a quick list of verses. I'll just read them to you, some phrases out of verses that remind us of the grace that has been extended to us. Romans 3, verse 24, being justified freely by His grace. Romans 5, 17, much more, those who receive abundance of grace. 2 Corinthians 8, 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, for by grace you have been saved. 1 Timothy 1:14, listen to this. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which were in Christ Jesus. And 2 Timothy 1:9 speaks of God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. The grace of God has been extended to you freely, abundantly, in Christ. You know, grace, the grace of God, is not the only proper motivator for my speaking. Now, there are a lot of things about God that should motivate me to speak. There's the fear of the Lord, that I reverence God, that I recognize God for who He is and all of His power and His glory and His sovereignty and His holiness and His righteousness, and that should motivate me to speak. I should be motivated by my desire to please the Lord in thanksgiving to Him for what He has done for me. I should be motivated to speak to God for the Lord because of the burden that He has placed on my heart for other people. But grace should be a motivator. I would say a primary motivator. Because of God's grace to me, I should be motivated to speak. And therefore, there should be grace on my lips. You know, our speech is a very complex thing. Not only in the physical, anatomical aspect, but it's very complex in the motivational aspect. I don't know if you're like me. I'm a person who tends to pick apart myself and sometimes what I said, probably more what I said and what I think and what motivates me. And I go in and I pick that apart down to the little tiny specks. Some of you may say, well, just stop doing that, Mark. If it bothers you, stop doing it. Well, I wish I could stop. It's not that easy. But one thing I notice about speech when I speak, it's not just one motive, okay? So I ask myself and I ask you, in general, when I speak, is my speech motivated by selfishness? Is it motivated by pride? Do I speak motivated by a sense of entitlement that I deserve something? Do I normally speak because I'm motivated by competition with others, by fear of circumstances, by a need for security? Do I speak because I'm being motivated by a desire to have power or to control? What is motivating me when I speak? I don't know that I've ever had a 100% pure motive for speaking anything because I'm in the flesh. But what is the general motivator for what I say? As I think about that list of things that I read through, my heart is to divert my motivation away from these things, which all are about me, and rather be motivated by the grace of God. I want to never forget the grace that I have received. I want to meditate on the grace of God to me. I want to allow the grace of God that is exceedingly abundant, that is overflowing the banks of the river, that just like the love of God, as we thought about this morning, that is vast as the ocean, so truly the grace of God could be spoken of the same way. It's measureless. It's bottomless. I want that to motivate me to speak rightly to others for God. I want the grace of God to motivate my mind and my heart in such a way that the grace of God overflows my heart and my mind and flows out to others and motivates me to speak for them. Speaking because of grace. What is motivating you to speak? What is motivating me to communicate with others? Number three, grace on our lips, not only when we're speaking by grace and speaking because of grace, but when we're speaking with grace. Speaking with grace. I'm going to suggest that this is the primary focus of verse 11 here in Proverbs 22. That individual who has grace on his lips and the king's going to be his friend, he's speaking by grace, and hopefully he's speaking because of grace, but I think the heart of the writer of the proverb here is that he would speak with grace. So we're going to go back over and hang up a third hook, and here we're going to put the word manner. Manner. The way of doing something. That is our manner. So here we have the manner of grace on our lips, the way that we speak. And over here on this side, as we hang up another hook here, we're going to have gracious speech. Gracious speech. You see, how I speak does matter. It does matter. I was recently listening to a preacher on the radio, and he said that he was talking with this woman who was known to speak in very ungracious ways. And she said, "I'm just speaking my mind." And he said, "Well, instead of speaking your mind, you need to speak the mind of Christ." I thought that was a pretty good comment. Am I speaking my mind? Or am I speaking the mind of Christ? Because the mind of Christ will be expressed in gracious speech. It's not only what I say, but it is how I say it that matters. The tone of my voice, my facial expression and body language all communicate something to the hearer about my attitude toward them and about what I'm saying. What does it mean to speak with grace? Well, we had that word manner hung up here. We had that thought of gracious speech. So I'm going to say a gracious manner. In a general sense, speaking in a way that is pleasantly kind, that expresses goodwill, that is courteous. Maybe courteous would be the best way to say that. Look with me, if you will. We'll go over to the New Testament, Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, where Paul, in writing to the first century believers, brings out this very same thought. It's a New Testament proverb, maybe. It's a commandment here. A commandment for the believer that we are able to obey through the grace of God. And we're going to read verses 5 and 6, and you'll see it there very clearly. In verse 6. Verse 5 of Colossians 4, "Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." Let your speech most of the time be with grace. He doesn't say that, does he? It's like, come on, Paul. Like, get real, man. We live in the 21st century. Do you have any idea of the people I work with? Paul, have you ever met my neighbors? Paul, do you even know the people I fellowship with at Grace Gospel Chapel? I mean, you're saying always speak with grace? You can't be serious. walk in wisdom, particularly toward those who were outside of Christ, outside of the assembly. But also, of course, that would apply to us within the assembly. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 12, Solomon expresses it like this: the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. So I guess I have the choice. I don't have to speak in a gracious manner. I can be a fool if I choose. Well, that's my option, right? The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. Let your speech always be with grace. Okay, if I want to be a fool now and then, I have the option to do that. I don't have to speak in a gracious manner. I should make it my goal to speak to others with grace, in a gracious manner, as the Lord Jesus did. Listen to Luke chapter 4 and verse 22. So all bore witness to him. This is the Lord Jesus. So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" Now, I don't want to read more into this verse than is there. And I definitely don't want to speak ungraciously of Joseph. But you know, it struck me. Were they saying, "Wow, did you hear the gracious words from his mouth? Isn't this Joseph's son?" Like, where in the world did these words come from? You're like, Joseph, maybe he wasn't known for being a gracious speaker. Now his son is like, "Wow, I thought he was Joseph's son. He didn't talk like Joseph." Maybe he didn't mean that at all. Maybe he didn't mean that. So don't write that in your commentary on the book of Luke or the book of Proverbs when you get that to that point in your personal commentary. But maybe, you know, I wonder if someone would say of one of my children, "Wow, what gracious words come out of his mouth. Isn't he Mark Shelley's son?" Where'd that come from? Hope that wouldn't happen. Hope that Joseph and myself and my son Joseph would all be known as ones who speak with gracious words, because ultimately when I speak, I really don't want it to be me speaking, do I? I want it to be the Lord Jesus speaking. You know, I've been crucified with Christ, but I still live. But Paul said it's not him that was living, it was Christ living in him. That's what I want to be true of me. I don't want it to be Mark Shelley living. I want the Lord Jesus to live through me. And if he's going to live through me, that means he's going to speak through me. And when he speaks, it will be gracious words. And you might say, "Hey, whoa, didn't he drive those guys out of the temple? Didn't he say, you've made my father's house a den of thieves, supposed to be a place of prayer?" I believe he still said it in a gracious way. Firm, you can be firm and gracious. Gracious doesn't just mean that you talk real sweet and soft and don't rebuke. No, you can rebuke with grace. And that's how we should rebuke. That's how we should correct. And I believe that he did that. So speaking with grace. Well, that gives us one more that we have before lunchtime, and that is speaking about grace. Speaking about grace. Grace on your lips when you are speaking about grace. So we've got one more hook on this side, and we're going to hang a fancy word over here. This is fancy in my vocabulary, maybe not in yours. Motif. Sound pretty impressive? You like that? Motif. So a motif is a central theme. It's a recurring subject in a piece of literature or a piece of music. So what is the motif of my speech? So this is going to be over here on this side on the fourth hook that we have, the only empty one left here for this talk, grace-themed speech. Grace-themed speech. What do I talk about? If they did a reality TV show about you and videoed you every waking moment, maybe even while you're asleep, because you might talk in your sleep, every waking moment or every sleeping moment, what would be the top five topics? If you took it in time-wise and they figured it out on some computer software and put it into the top five things, the top five motifs, the top five themes that this individual, you, speak about in a week? What would be the top five themes? What about the top five themes of which I speak in a week? Grace on my lips also means that grace will be a frequent topic of my conversation. It may be a direct reference to the grace of God. Much like Paul, do you know in his New Testament letters, what we have recorded of Paul's writings, he mentions grace 89 times directly. Those are direct mentions of grace 89 times in his letters. I don't know how many times he mentioned it just in conversation, in preaching, in sharing. So mentioning it directly or indirectly, I think that we can have grace on our lips. We can speak about grace without ever using the word grace. We can still speak about the grace of God. About what God has given us as humanity and has given us as individuals and given us as believers that is good and that we don't deserve. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights. And there's no variableness of turning with Him. He doesn't change and give good gifts one day and bad gifts the next day. No, what He gives is always good. And I can share that. So the question is, does God's grace saturate my mind and my heart so much that not only does it motivate me to speak, but also that it is the motif, not only the motive, but the motif of my speech. In other words, that it saturates my mind and heart so much that it flows from my lips. The Lord Jesus said, it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. It's from the overflow of the heart. The heart being our mind and emotions and will. Am I saturating my mind and my emotions and my will with the grace of God, of receiving from God good things that I don't deserve, that is so much a part of me that it flows out of my mouth? I don't even have to put a little reminder on my hand, speak of God's grace today. Maybe I have to do that to get started. But hopefully it will just flow out of my mouth eventually. Do I naturally speak of the grace of God? Is it a big deal to me? You know, I'm not going to talk about it if it's not a big deal, right? If it's just a little thing, or I think, oh, that's kind of, you know, everybody knows that. Well, maybe everybody does know that. But if you're like me, I need to be reminded now and then. Feel free to always speak to me about the grace of God. I won't be offended that you're acting like I didn't know that or might have forgotten, because maybe I didn't know or maybe I did forget. And even if I do know and didn't forget, it's wonderful to hear about it. Maybe it'll help me speak about the grace of God. Getting what I don't deserve. Realizing that and then giving God the credit. That's an easy way to speak of the grace of God, isn't it? Congratulations, Matthew. Congratulations, Betty. Well, thank you. Praise God. You don't have to say that, by the way. I'm not saying you have, but just using you as an example because you were handy. However we seek to turn the conversation to the Lord, right? God really helped me through high school. You know, Matthew might say, I had the toughest teacher in the world. You know, I couldn't ever get away from her either because she was also the principal and the cook and the everything else. Betty might say, nah, you hadn't been to VCU yet, all right? You hadn't got faced the toughest teachers yet, Matthew. Hang on, buddy. But you know, God got y'all through that, didn't He? Yep, you're shaking your head yes, right? Shake your head yes, Matthew. All right, good work. All right. The grace of God and the gospel of grace. Is that not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Grace? Do we have a gospel without grace? No, we don't. Without the grace of God, there is no gospel. There's no good news. Because if we have to earn our way, if we have to deserve it, then we're hopeless and helpless. You see, it's the grace of God that enables us to have a gospel. and it's the gospel of grace. And we have the opportunity as believers in the Lord Jesus to have grace on our lips, the gospel message. And it should be there. It should be flowing out. You don't have to give the whole book of Romans in order to share the gospel. You don't even have to give a whole verse of Romans in order to share the gospel. You can speak a word of testimony. But I encourage you to know those verses about grace and to be able to share those. It disarms people. Because it says, you know, I'm not telling you how wonderful I am and you need to be like me. So why don't you get saved? And then you could be great like I am. Wouldn't you like that? That's not the gospel, is it? No. I'm a sinner and I'm saved. God forgave me. And I don't deserve it. But he did, the gospel of grace. May the motif of grace be on my lips. So speaking and having grace on your lips when you're speaking by grace, because of grace, with grace, and about grace. Two verses I'll close with. It's time to eat. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Here's the contrast. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. What comes out of my mouth should impart grace to the hearers. Psalm 45 in verse 2. A verse that will be referenced in Hebrews chapter 1, speaking of the Lord Jesus. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. That's our Savior. Grace poured on His lips. Is that grace on your lips? My eyes aren't that good. I have to get a little closer. My ears aren't that good either, so I have to get a little closer. Because I'm not going to be able to see grace on your lips, but I can hear grace on your lips. May that be true of each one of us. May we impact the world today and this week and forever because we have grace on our lips. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your grace toward us. Grace that is amazing. Grace that is abundant. Grace that is sufficient. Grace that is effective. Father, we thank you for grace. And we thank you that you are the God of all grace. Thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus, who has made possible for us the gospel of grace. Lord, we thank you for each one here who knows the Lord Jesus as Savior. Father, we thank you for our understanding of grace and our hopefully greater appreciation of grace. Father, we want there to be grace on our lips. We want every hearer of what we say to be impacted by grace, Father. We know that our speaking is of grace. May we be motivated by grace. May we speak in a gracious manner, a grace-filled manner. And Lord, may we speak about grace. Lord, you have done all of this for us and more. By your grace, you have provided lunch for us today. And Father, as this food goes through our lips, into our mouths, Father, may we be reminded of the importance of having grace on our lips. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus and the grace that is on his lips even now as he intercedes for us and speaks words of grace to our hearts through the scriptures. And we pray in his name. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you.